15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Wait a minute. I've heard that before. That's the note Jeremy wrote to me in my yearbook in the sixth grade. How'd you even know that?
Because it's from Geico.
Yeah, wait, here it is. Dear Luke, have a great summer. P.S. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. Love, Jeremy.
Geico's had this tagline for years, because we help save people money.
So wait, you're saying Jeremy copied you? Yeah, that actually does sound like something the J-Man would do.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me today is my man, Dev, from According to Sources. What's up, brother?
What's up, baby? What's good down there in South Florida?
Everything good, brother. Everything good. As always, we like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Dev, you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, question number one. What's the best album or song you've heard this year thus far?
This year? Oh, man, this year, 2018. I would probably say the best song that I've heard is... Oh, man, that is tough. Man, yeah. You're coming in hot. Hot takes from the jump. Oh, man, son, I gotta, hold on, let me pull up my title out really fast. I can't remember if that Chris Brown album came out last year.
I think it came out this year, because
I remember he had a Christmas version for it. He released two.
Okay, you're talking about the one that had like 1,000 songs in it, right?
Yes, that was my joy, boy. you know what? The best album so far. Oh, you know what, man? I was trying to hop away from this bandwagon because I'm a real big fan of MCs. I like real rap. As of today, I'm, you know, definitely on the side of Pusha T. But the best album I've heard so far is Cardi B's album. And I try not to venture into, like, you know, pop rap, you know, like rap that's just for lazy listeners and just get you moving in the club. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy her album. The best song I've heard, if you want to consider it a song, probably that Pusha T diss on Drake. That gave me life. I think that might be my anthem for the rest of summer 18.
Okay. Which one? The first one or the one that just came out recently?
The most recent one. The one that came out yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, man. That was hot.
Yeah, that definitely was. That definitely was hot. Okay, question number two. This is going to be a funny question. Is Kanye canceled?
I think so, man. You know, somebody asked me the other day what was my top to name off my top 5 rappers of all time, and Kanye just jumped out of my top 5, unfortunately. Until I can see something that changed my mind, you know, that's a lot has happened. In a very short amount of time, he's canceled until further notice, because I feel he's canceled, but he has room to come back.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like he made the beat for Pusha T album.
Yeah, bro.
That's a positive. But then he came up with the idea for the album cover. So, like, yo, it's like, I don't know what to do with this situation, brother.
My opinion on Kanye is Kanye. I respond to Kanye's actions with a Kanye shrug. Like, yeah. I guess, nigga. Whatever.
All right.
So that's that.
Question number three. What's the dumbest thing you did as a kid?
Oh, man. The dumbest thing I did as a shorty.
Let me clarify that. When I said kid, that means from birth, and I count to 17 years old.
Oh, dude, I've done a lot of dumb things. I was a living dangerous type of young cat. But I think this is hands down the worst. Back in the 90s, Midway Airport here in Chicago was the busiest airport in North America. And I single-handedly, at 8 years old, shut that bitch down by myself. Now, mind you, this is before 9/11. I was eight. This is probably like, I want to say, it was in the mid-90s. I'm not good at math. So what's that, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94. That's right. It was in 95 because the Bulls didn't win a championship. That's how I do math. It was we were moving to Florida. It was me, my mom, and my pops, and my brothers. I didn't want to move to Florida. I wanted to stay in Chicago. And I just escaped from them in the middle of Midway Airport. And I just started running. I just took off running. Now, Midway isn't a big – it's not big compared to, you know, most international airports in the country. And they couldn't find me. They had to call the Chicago Police Department. They had to call the security in the airport. They had to call at the time, they had the state the state patrol troopers all in the airports then. Like I said, this is before 9/11. Dog, I almost made it to the baggage claim. This lady asked me, why was I running? Total stranger. And she's like, well, it looks like you're kind of thirsty. Maybe there's a little thing, a water fountain over there. Went straight to the water fountain. They caught me. But yeah, I was, our local news here is WGN. I made it on the news. The dumbest thing. I got my ass whooped from Chicago all the way to Cocoa Beach, Florida.
I was just going to say, like, yo, you got caught.
My mama tore my ass up. Like, yo. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's bad. That's really bad.
It's bad, dude. Yeah, it was real bad.
Definitely. Question number four. NBA playoffs. LeBron James versus everybody else. Who wins?
So, I am a LeBron James fan to the max, Delvin. Like, I love LeBron more so because of his off-the-court efforts. I appreciate the humanitarian that he is and who he, you know, projects himself to be as a man and how he supports it by being a great role model in his community, for his family, for his sons. You know, LeBron is one of the greatest athletes that we've had in a sense of being a good role model. But, I'd be happy with the Cavs winning one game, and it's a best out of five series. Because if LeBron pulled this off, I will talk shit for the rest of history as long as Twitter allow me to have a Twitter. Period. I will never stop. Every single day, I'll be like, LeBron won with nobodies. Period.
Yeah.
If you pull it up, but. Like I said in the thread, Cavs got a better – we got a better chance of finding Jimmy Hoffa before the Cavs win the championship against the Golden State Warriors this year.
Yeah, you might be right on that.
So, yeah.
Okay. Final That's question for the one. 5 for 5.
All right.
If you can tell yourself something in the past that would help you today, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, man. It would definitely be it would be two things. One would be you know, fear is just a word. when I was younger, I was really afraid of taking chances on things because I had this big fear of rejection or fear I wouldn't succeed. Fear is just a word. Fear only creates so much fear when you put emphasis into it. It's like it's like a pillowcase. A pillowcase is super, super light until you put a pillow in it. And if it's one of them Tempur-Pedic joints, that bad boy is heavy. Yeah. But you can carry a pillowcase easy. You put something in it, you put anything in it that adds weight. It adds more value to it in a sense of damaging your head. So it would be like, don't have any fears. Take chances and don't be afraid of hard work. It took me a long time, and I think it matured me a lot as a man as I got older. Now I'm 31. I learned the hard way that hard work is the best thing for you. Because even if it doesn't work out in the end, it creates character values for you. Say like, hey, at least I did it like this and it worked out for me. You know, hard work, don't ever let nobody down. So definitely the two things I tell myself. I still tell myself that today.
Man, that's good advice to say the least.
Yeah.
So how's it going, brother, man? How's everything going? Let everybody know who you are and what do you do for them.
Absolutely, man. My name is Devin. I was born here in Chicago. I like to say that I'm a resident of four different places. Chicago, Melbourne Beach, Florida, Hawaii, where my dad's side of family is from, in New York, because that's where a ton of my family lives. I do podcasts. I'm one of the social media managers for According to Sources .com, where we talk about sports and all things for the bros and all things for creating a stable balance in our community. We lose a lot of demographics every day. If you listen to our podcast, we lose the Fox News supporters and Donald Trump trainers. We lose them every podcast. We like to speak the truth. And me as a dude, man, I try to be a stand-up guy because I have two little boys. As of right now, as I told you, Delvin, before we hopped on here, I'm currently in the process of growing a fitness brand that I created. It's called Seneca Athletics. Seneca Athletics is a fitness brand that's focusing on developing young and old athletes, pros, amateurs, and also developing young men and women in at-risk neighborhoods through emotional development and helping them find resources for a better life through sports. Seneca Athletics, it's not just a name. Seneca was my older brother. He was murdered last year in March. Seneca was 39 years old when he passed away, and he battled a lot of demons throughout his life. For the sake of conversation and not putting all my brothers' business out on the street, everything that you got, guys like Pusha T, the old Jay-Z, all those things they rap about, my brother was really living, and it was a hardcore life. It was a lot of demons that he was battling, and then just took a moment in his life where he changed himself for the better. He started his own business. He made a moving company. He moved to Minneapolis. And one of his goals in Minneapolis was to create positive outreaches for kids that play basketball, that want to play football. He would use one of his moving trucks, converted it to a bus, took these kids to an indoor sports facility in Minneapolis, and all day they could just play sports. They had brotherhood talks. He developed them as men. Sadly, maybe about 4 or 5 years after that, my brother lost his life. I was extremely inspired by what my brother was trying to do, what he was doing. And after, the grieving process ended, I decided to take a chance, not have fear, and put some value into creating a brand that carries and continues to carry my brother's legacy and inspire everybody else to be great. My brother was an incredible athlete, but like some of us that don't have all the physical gifts, he wasn't that tall. He was maybe like 5'8 or 5'9, but he played AAU basketball with Ronnie Fields, Kevin Garnett, Ron Mercer. He played with all these incredible basketball players. And he carried that in. It was always his peace. He found peace through sports. So he made sure that he tried to carry that legacy into kids and make sure they don't take the wrong turns in life and go down the same road that he went down. So here we are trying to carry it. We're in the early stages of our business. We have about 3 athletes that we're about to sign soon. We're going to sponsor. Now we're going to have a Get Fit Festival that's going to be here in Chicago later on this summer, hopefully by the end of July. We're going to try to have one in New York. And hopefully we're crossing our fingers. We would like to have one in Miami or Melbourne Beach. So by the end of the year sometimes, because, you know, it's warm all the time where y'all are at.
If you have it in Miami,
we're definitely trying. Absolutely. I'm going to count on you.
I'll be there. Just let me know. That's what you're doing is beyond noble, man. You're carrying on your brother's legacy. Even with his death, he's going to mean a lot to people.
Absolutely. That's a goal. The goal to try to inspire people by telling his story and continuing to tell his story and carry on his legacy for the better.
And I think it's awesome the fact that, well, you know what he did in his past.
Right.
But he tried to move forward from that.
Exactly.
Which is not an easy thing to do. People kind of take that part for granted.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into that life, it's not an easy thing to just let go of.
Yeah.
And he went on a mission to better himself. And you saw that in him, and it inspired you to do better. So with that being said, are there other people who inspired you in that type of way?
Yeah, Matt, you know, it actually came from maybe about a year or so before he passed. We saw the movie, I think it's called More Than a Game, featuring LeBron James. Yeah. And it showed his story about even though his father wasn't in his life, he had so many other male figures in his life that were instilling discipline in him to try to make him understand what his abilities were as a person and as an athlete. LeBron has always been an inspiration for me. I know I always revert back to one picture I saw of him. He has an organization called the LeBron James Family Foundation, and one of their taglines is strive for greatness. And you can always replace the word greatness with something that's inspiring. And one, it was a picture of him that he posted, and he's like, I strive to be a better father. And it's him tying his 2 little boy's shoes. Like I said, I have 2 little boys, and I try to be the best role model that I can. So in their eyes, I could be like Michael Jordan. Obviously, I'm not Mike, because ain't nobody Mike, the GOAT. And
definitely,
I try to be the GOAT in their eyes, because if they see how hard I work and they see how much effort that I put into a situation, I'm always setting the benchmark for them to be greater than whoever they were yesterday. And they are my absolute main inspiration, hands down. If I could be great for them, they're going to pass that legacy on to somebody else. And I always get into the thought process thinking about how kids are like sponges. If they see just one child, you could change one child's life by just them seeing one event. Kids daydream like nobody's business. They're sitting in the car, they're driving down the street, they look outside, they see somebody at the bus stop, and they see people laughing, they're probably going to smile. They don't know what they're laughing about, but they're probably going to smile. Kids are so easily influenced, is my point by saying that. And, you know, 2 little boys in my son's classroom who are probably in a single family home at their own home, they see that my kids, because me and his mother co-parent, they see that my kids are always happy. They're always trying to be great. They're trying to push them to be great, push their classmates to be great. That inspires that kid. That kid takes it home to one of his brothers or sisters. He inspires them, and it's just a trickle effect all the way down. My kids are my main inspiration. Guys like LeBron James are my inspiration. One of my other major inspirations is a gentleman by the name of Les Brown. He's actually from Liberty City. Yeah. Les Brown, man, he tells an incredible story. If all your viewers and listeners, they want to go check him out, Les Brown tells an incredible story about his life. He's now a motivational speaker. And he definitely came from the bottom to the top. And it was because he never gave up hope. He kept looking at his dream every day, writing down his dream over and over again, and he inspired himself to keep going and keep continuing. So, yeah.
For those who don't know, Liberty City is like the hood in Miami.
Liberty City is the trap.
Exactly. It's like it's like Grand Theft Auto Liberty City.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
Definitely, man. So you're co-parenting. So how, for those who don't know, how does that work? Because as you know, when it comes to black parents and it comes to their daddy, they always say that we're not around. But you're literally saying right now, we're around.
Bro, it is so easy to not easy, let me rephrase that. It's great being a co-parent when you're with your children.
Yes.
Because it's like in that moment you're like, oh, finally. All right. No drama. This is cool. Me and my kids are together. Everything's happy. However, it's a team effort, and it's like a team effort that you're not even on the same team anymore. Y'all are just trying to do it for the children. And, you know, unfortunately, and not all situations are like that. It is extremely difficult. It's also a situation where you have to self-reflect a lot, because you have to sit back and see who you are as a person. And as a man of color, you have to say, am I doing everything that I can to make sure that whatever this dispute is between me and my partner, my child's mother, whatever the dispute is, whatever the disagreement is, am I doing enough to settle it without leaving a terrible impression on them? Because the worst thing that a kid can see is his parents fight, his or her parents fighting. And it's difficult, man, to say the least. To say the least, it is difficult. But hard work.
Maintain it, man. You seem.
Composure is a good thing. You know, I try to play poker sometimes. I have a better time at keeping a good poker face being a co-parent than I do at poker. So it's about composure and staying calm and trying to, you know what, it's really trying not to fall under that stigma that is black men being fathers.
Yeah.
Because, boy, it's easy. It's super easy to turn into somebody's baby daddy.
Drink.
And just not be there. Yes, yes. Yes, as Pusha T said, you playing Border Patrol. That's not hot.
It's easy to be Drake and just drop off the check and be like, all right, I'm gone.
Yeah. Yes, it's super easy to be that. Because kids, like I said, man, kids are sponges. They do not forget. They don't forget about anything, man. They know everything that's going on. They always remember.
Definitely. So let's talk about According to Sources. How did you get a part of that? Because it's, to me, I love According to Sources for one. And I've told Dre this before. I think According to Sources can be one of those shows that you can put on ESPN and just fancy it up and it will fit right in.
Yes, that's a big word, fancy. You would have to fancy this up a little bit because we lose a demographic a good amount of time. But, man, I jumped on the According to Sources crew because I was watching a boxing match one night. I forgot who it was. I think it was like Adrian Broner or Sean Porter. It was a few years back. And before then, I had seen their site pop up on Twitter here and there. And Dre he's not like a super LeBron fan like I am, but he acknowledges that he's great. And so I remember he must have said something about LeBron once, and I was like, ain't gonna be no more LeBron slander around these parts. I don't appreciate it. And he was like, he said something cool, and then here and there we would always talk back and forth. And then one night I just said, you know, you guys should cover more boxing and baseball. I'd appreciate that. It's enough of this prejudice towards boxing and baseball. Dre messaged me. He was like, hey, send me some sample writing, and we could talk on the phone. I wrote up an article about boxing and baseball. I actually predicted in my article that eventually, with the cast that they have, the Cubs are going to win the World Series. And talked about Mayweather-Pacquiao. And yeah, man, a week later, I was on According to Sources. And I've been – it's me, Dre, Rob. Me, Dre, Rob, our boy Christian, And we have another homeboy named Boris. He hops on sometimes. One of our homies, Sean. And yeah, man, we've been close ever since. Actually, Dre is one of my I look at Dre like a big brother. He's one of my mentors in life. He's a very cool dude, really stand-up guy, a great family man. He sets the bar for what it is to be a great dad, a great husband, and just a great dude in general.
Yeah, I always say that about Sean.
Sean, but he definitely. Oh yeah, but don't get it twisted. I'm you know Dre about a good few more LeBron slanders away from me going off on his ass. But I'm gonna let him flat this. But next season, it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a problem.
One of the things I always love about listening to Court and the Sources is that there is no love for Boston.
There is. No love for Boston. This is deeper than sports. I can't stand them motherfuckers. Can I cuss on your show? I'm sorry.
Nah, just because you said Boston. As a Heat fan, I never liked Boston, so that tells you something right there.
I'm trying to be a good, you know, spiritual man right now. I curse them out. I don't like the Celtics. I don't like the damn Patriots. Ugh. I can't stand the Red Sox. I don't like the Bruins. I don't like the New England Revolution, they soccer team. None of them. All of them can go. I don't like the city and they no grid system, but they whack streets. I don't like the state. It smells. I've been saying forever on all our podcasts, they just need to bomb just the border of Massachusetts and just let it float out into the Atlantic Ocean. Make it a province or something. Get rid of Massachusetts and let's make Puerto Rico a state. Maybe then we can help them. There ain't nothing good come from Massachusetts besides Steve Carell. That's it. And he get a pass. That's it. I don't know nothing else. I don't got nothing else. I don't even want to talk about him.
I'm trying to think now, Danny, from Massachusetts specifically.
I don't know. I don't know any good looking women that come from Massachusetts either. Nope.
Maybe John Cena.
Who?
John Cena.
Man, ain't nobody. If John Cena's from there, he can go to Mark Wahlberg. He whack. He stopped making good movies a while ago. Who else? Bobby Brown. He all messed up. So you see what they do to people over there. I'm good. Black folks in Boston should have left a long time ago. New York got plenty of room.
Yeah, Lord knows New York got plenty of room.
Upstate New York had a ton of space. Ton of space. They can swallow Massachusetts.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't like Tom Brady. He's a cheater. He's not the greatest of all time. I hope somebody challenged me on that because I got time. I don't like Bill Belichick. He's a cheater. I don't like Paul Pierce. He's so full of shit. I don't got Larry Bird in my top five. None of that. All of them, they can go. The Chicago Blackhawks played the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals a few years back. Boy, I'm already a Blackhawks fan. Man, I had T-shirts. I put a flag on my car. I wanted them to win that so bad. I wish Boston would have rioted and just tore everything down after we won. It was a wrap. I can't stand Boston. Can't stand them. I hope I communicated that fully.
I think you got your point across. Oh man, that was awesome. So you're also a boxing fan. How long have you been a boxing fan for?
I've been a boxing fan, bro, since I was little. I've been boxing myself for the past 10 years. Now, as I'm getting older, it's become more coaching and training and, you know, being a critic of boxing. But I've been a boxing fan for a long time, man. It was a tough time in the stages between Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, going to Roy Jones Jr. It was like a somewhat of a dead era in boxing. But it's once Floyd came around and once he got older, it resurged. And as of now, man, there are so many talented fighters in the game of boxing. And I love it. I try to watch as many fights as I possibly can. We still get this bad rap that boxing isn't entertaining. And I think that it's mostly because guys just don't see, you know, the art of the sport. It's just like in America with soccer. I'm a huge soccer fan. But because we as Americans, we like things to be just brutal and straight to the point. If boxing, you know, people love to compare boxing to UFC. UFC is pretty damn boring to me. Once they get cats on the ground, they just stay there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And what the hell else is happening? I'd rather watch WWE than I watch UFC.
But yeah, I think UFC has that. If it's not a striking fight,
yeah,
it's just like take down the technical. Yeah, it kind of gets boring.
It gets boring, man. And you know, it's only so much that they can do. I mean, these guys are trying to win fights. I give a ton of credit to mixed martial artists. I think they're incredible athletes. But to watch that, it's tough. It's really tough. But boxing, man, boxing is on the up and up. It really is. I'm not a huge Triple G fan. I'm not a huge Canelo fan either. But Lomachenko, the guy he just fought, Jorge Linares, I'm huge fans of Linares. Some of these guys, man, they're coming up, the Charlo twins, Errol Spence Jr., Anthony Joshua. It's a great time to be a boxing fan. And if you're not, it's a great time to get on board and learn about the sport. Learn where some of these fighters come from and what the future of boxing holds for everybody, man. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be really exciting.
I think the problem with boxing today is that you don't really have those. Well, it's probably because they don't market it like they used to, but you don't have exactly the name like you used to have. Like, yeah, everybody know who Mike Tyson was. Everybody exactly know who Floyd Mayweather was. But now, like I said, I don't think everybody knows who Triple G is or Canelo Alvarez, things like that. So,
yeah, and you know, and one of the other dilemmas is you have I was going to talk about this on a podcast soon, on the According to Sources podcast. One of the things that some of these promotional companies lack is marketing their fighters. That should be the number one thing that they do, not just commercials, not just, you know, marketing them when a pay-per-view event is about to come on. You should be doing it all the time. Floyd, obviously Floyd is a shit dude off out of the ring with his, you know, legal issues. But yeah, Floyd was extremely successful of one thing, being a black-owned business, because Floyd owned himself, a promotional company, and owned Floyd. Number two, he was great at, you know, self-marketing. He could sell himself, whether he was playing the good guy, which was early middle of his career, and then playing the bad guy when he switched over to Money Mayweather, and then near the end of his career, being the quiet dude because he already established himself, and he was quiet wealth that was great at marketing his own self. He was excellent at that.
And he was so excellent to the point that it's baffling, because if you watch a Floyd Mayweather fight,
it's especially in the later half of his career, it's pretty boring.
Yeah, it's not very – you're not getting no knockouts.
It's not entertaining at all. You're watching just to see if something will happen to Floyd, yeah, if you'll get hurt. So I think promoters need to do a better job of encouraging their fighters. Like, hey, you got to go put your face out here. You need to go talk shit about this fighter out here. Need to be more active in doing things in the community, on TV and the media, that get your name out there. So in Britain, Anthony Joshua is a huge name. Compare that to Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder still has yet to have a pay-per-view fight. I mean, and let alone a pay-per-view fight, a fight that sells out a major arena. Floyd, I mean, he never had that issue. Anthony Joshua sells out soccer arenas that hold 80,000 people in Europe. So, you know, I'm not a Deontay Wilder fan, but, you know, being that he's the American heavyweight champion of the world, somebody should be doing a better job with marketing him. And I think that's one issue of boxing right now. The second issue is boxing definitely needs a commission, a national commission, you know, that's similar to like any major sport in America. You know, the NBA has one players commission, players association that manages the players, represents them against the entity that is the National Basketball Association. And it would be much better for the sport, but hopefully that'll get done soon. One of the advocates for that is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn. He's really trying his hardest to get something launched into making that happen. But it's, you know, It's just like politics, you know, politics and war. The only reason it's going to get done is money and you saying, what are you going to give me for me giving you this? So eventually it's going to get done, though. I have faith in that.
Good. Okay, final quick question topic.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think, because you're from according to sources, obviously, so you're a big sports fan. I want to ask you this question because yes. I want to hear your answer. Why do you think African Americans still support the NFL?
Man, dude, I had this conversation with a few dudes in a group chat that I'm in, some close friends of mine. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, we as black people, this is live, right? Like people can see us, faces and stuff.
They can see us, but I usually don't put the video out, so it's fine.
Okay, cool. That's cool. So for anybody that's watching and you look at me and you're like, how's this guy talking about him being black? So backstory, my mother is black. My father is Hawaiian and German, so hence the color. And I don't want anybody to be confused when I start talking about it. They're like, what the hell is he talking about? I was talking about this with some guys in a group chat that I'm in, and all of us are black. And one of my homeboys made a great point to me. He said, you know, we as black people, a lot of times we fall into these habits of comfort where we don't like to change routine. And that's also human nature, too. Some of us just don't like to change routine. Number one, the NFL is entertaining. Number two, it's hard for people to let go of their loyalty to something that they really care about, that they invest in, that they put money in, a la their NFL franchise team, for me being the Packers. Number three, fantasy football pays a lot of money to people. People to let go of a sense of a gambling addiction. Essentially, that's what it is. It's hard for people to let go and say, I'm probably not going to get that team, the right squad this year to win fantasy. But yeah, I think I'm going to take off this year. I know somebody firsthand who boycotted. You could say boycott. They stopped watching the NFL last year. It was my younger brother. He said he would not be watching the NFL until the players who were the primary faces of supporting kneeling for the stance. Kneeling for the anthem. Until they're recognized and their answers are heard. And he's not going to watch it this year until Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick are signed. It's hard, man. I think the one thing is routine. The number one thing is for black folks to let go of routine. I'm going to be honest with you. I only watched a handful of games last year, and they were the Packers games. I honestly fell asleep through a lot of the games. They just were not entertaining. Not only that, but, you know, the first quarter is all I think about during the first quarter is like, this shouldn't be such an issue to people. They're not violently protesting. Nobody's hurting anybody. There's nothing going on that's, you know, disrespectful to veterans in active duty military. I served in the Navy. I'm a veteran. When I first saw Colin Kaepernick doing, I was like, man, that's pretty admirable. Good for him. And when I found out in detail why he was kneeling is because another combat veteran, somebody who actually served in a combat unit, Nate Boyer, asked him, instead of sitting, can you please kneel? Kneeling is a more respectful way of doing what you want to do. He said, okay, absolutely. That's a stand-up decision. And I think with the recent events and the rule change for Anthem, protest. We as black people just need this, you know, cumulatively say, you know what, if I'm not going to watch the whole season, the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, don't watch any games, period. I think that's enough. I mean, you're not going to miss a whole lot in 2 to 3 weeks. The playoff situation shouldn't affect your team with 2 or 3 weeks. And I hate to say this to a lot of people because a lot of folks have their superstitions. Them cats gonna go out there and play regardless if you watch or not. I used to be a big big believer in they lost because I wasn't watching. Man, they don't care about me. So I 2 or 3 weeks, we should at least give it that. And then after that, you know, hopefully some changes are made. And then after that, you know, go full of it to the extreme. Create our own NFL, period. And let folks say that we're being separatists and we're the ones that are, in fact, racist, which is a bunch of bullshit. But I think that should be it.
Well, it's happening now anyway. It's happening on the other side of things.
Yeah.
We have, like, Mr. Man creating his own football league where he says you can't kneel.
You can't kneel. How is that not being a separatist and how is that not being racist? So
yeah, so
it's a joke.
It's happening now. Like I say, it's happening. So it's just not being created by black people, but it's happening on the other side. Conservatives are creating their own NFL. I think it's two leagues, if I'm correct.
Miss I want to say two leagues. I forgot the other one.
Yeah, the other one, I can't remember the other one's name. But I know Vince McMahon's bringing back the XFL, and it's another one that's going to come back like a year before the XFL.
Yeah. I did hear about that. I can't remember the name of it.
It's going to be real interesting to see how it turned out.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get we recognize something from the whole process, and it gives us, you know, I'd like to fire in people of color to make a change and to actively make changes, because at the end of the day, we're the primary fuel that creates the fire that is the NFL. Without us, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, without the 90% of their players, the NFL isn't anything. It's just like what I really want is for players to boycott and to just take one game off, to just not play. Let the NFL handle it. They're going to find people. Cool. Take a fine. Take that one game paycheck off. You could do it. And it'd be just like the Chappelle skit where black folks got reparations and Brian Scalabrine and Todd McCullough played a game to 100. And they said that it was finally they realized they were the best players on the court. Okay, cool. Let that happen and see how entertaining your brand is then. Give me a break. What a joke. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Before we go, man, promote your brand again. I want everybody to go check it out.
Absolutely. It is – I'm going to pull a picture up right here, right now. It is Seneca, S-E-N-E-C-A, Athletics. Again, we're a brand that works with personal training, group training, athletic development, and also emotional development for at-risk children all throughout the city of Chicago, eventually in New York and in Miami and L.A. When we're super big then, we could be doing it in multiple places at the same time. You can follow us on Instagram, Seneca Athletics. It's all one at, I guess, for the name, for the handle. We're on Facebook. We haven't really got into the gears of adjusting our Facebook page yet. Eventually, I will create a Twitter account, but you can find us on Instagram. That's where we're posting all of our content right now. We're looking to get as many athletes on board, as many clients on board. And yeah, man, we're grinding. One of our biggest taglines is be great today. Can't nobody be greater at being you than you. That's the best way to live life every day, to be great. If you just want to brush your teeth good, be great at that. If you want to be the first person in the office every day, be great. Or one of my favorites, you want to be the first person out the office every day, be great.
I think you just ended it right there, man. I get nothing else to say about that. But if you guys want to hear more from Dev, man, listen to According to Sources podcast, definitely. And check out Seneca Athletics, man. If he's doing something really big, and really awesome. I think people should go out there and support them. Definitely.
There we go. Right across the stream.
Definitely. And as always, man, Delvin Cox Experience, we out. Peace.
Peace.
We got a breaking news. We got a breaking news on the podcast. Shortly after we recorded this episode, news came out to Dev that the person who killed his brother was arrested. So, I'm quite sure that's a sigh of relief to him and his family. So just send him best wishes, man. Let him know how you feel. His Twitter is at Mr. High Yellow, Mr. Underscore High Yellow. And yeah, so like shortly after, it's crazy how this works, because this is the episode for this week, and he told this touching story about his brother naming Seneca Athletics after his brother. And in the same week we did the episode, he finds out that they found the killer of his brother. So go support the brother, and thank you guys for listening.